flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
If it's Tuesday, it's not my beat. It's Mitch Tischler. Holy potatoes, Mitchell. They're going to the NFC Championship game. Hello, my friend.
Holy potatoes, buddy. Did you ever think that was coming?
No. No, I mean, at some point on Saturday night, I was like, this score seems pretty favorable. I think they're going to go to the NFC Championship game. I thought they had a chance going in the game for sure, but, you know, when are we asking here that I thought it was possible? Like, August? No.
At what point on Sunday did you finally wrap your head around the fact, oh my goodness, this is for real?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I kind of had a wrap around it Saturday night, and I think it's because of Jaden. Like, I know that it's not supposed to happen like this, and it never has before. There's a great stat. Anthony and I were just talking about it during the break going around that, like, of all the rookie quarterbacks that have started a championship game, every other one has had a top five scoring defense. The Commanders are 18th. So, like, this isn't supposed to happen like this. But it's at some point within the last month, and, like, I'll keep saying he's a rookie just to remind people how remarkable it is. But I've also accepted, like, he's a top 10 NFL quarterback, and this season he's a top 5 NFL quarterback. This is who he is, and at some point, I think we adjust our expectations accordingly. And by the way, that doesn't mean that they're going to go out and thrash Philly, because Philly is a top 5 NFL team. But I think I have had an easier time almost wrapping my head around it as it's gotten deeper into this because of who Jaden has become.
Yeah, I mean, pregame, I felt like they had a chance to win. On our podcast, I picked a 31-30 Commanders win. So, I mean, I was on board with them going into Detroit and shocking the world. But I don't know that I really, really believed it until Kwon got that pick six. And, you know, it was an incredible play by Kwon. I love the blocking by the defense. Frankie Louvu laying out Jared Goff. Off having to go into the concussion, tent protocol. It wasn't until kind of that play, they're up by 10 in the second quarter, and I'm looking around, and, you know, maybe 25 seats to my left is Doug Williams. In the box, kind of a little bit down to my right, is Adam Peters and Lance Newmark and company. And I did, like, kind of a quick scan across, and it wasn't even like these guys were, like, you know, hands on head, surprise, you know, surrender Cobra. They were, you know, they were cheering. They were into it. Like, it didn't seem like it was a surprise to them. And I think the way that Dan Quinn had this group ready to go speaks so highly to the coach that he is and everything that he's instilled in such a short period of time here in Washington.
No doubt. And I guess I'll say this too, Mitch. Like, the point in the game for me that was like, oh, they're winning this, was actually the long drive at the end of the third quarter. So they come out after halftime, and they have, because they have that moment with Kwon, but then Detroit comes down and scores, and then they get the pick in the end zone. Washington scores, they get the pick in the end zone for Mikey, and it's like, oh, that's big. If they can come out after halftime and score again, well, now we're in business. And their one punt of the game is on their first drive of the second half. And I'm like, oh no, is this about to get sideways? And Detroit comes down and scores. They make it, I think it was 31-28. And then Jaden just goes on a bleed the clock, suck your soul, take all your hope away drive to put him back up, I guess double digits. And at that point, I'm like, both from a time, score, clock standpoint and a this dude is not being denied standpoint, that was the moment for me that, like, I was like, oh, they're winning this. Being there, was there like an air that came out of the building after that drive on Saturday night in Detroit?
I would say particularly during that drive is when you started seeing this place get quiet. I kept joking during the game, the press box announcer was getting more dejected as the game went on, and they score that touchdown, and you just hear him go, what was it? Who scored that touchdown to get them there?
I'm trying to remember which one. I think that was... Yeah,
Brian Robinson touchdown, 38-28 Commanders, and it was just like, you could feel the dejection in his voice. And what made that drive so great, by the way, I mean, you mentioned it, 15 plays was incredible. They went 70 yards. There was the dirty, unsportsmanlike hit to the helmet that Jaden took. I think they threw for 13 yards and ran for 50. And this is a rush offense that obviously has struggled to no end as of late. And to in a key moment like that, to be able to put it together both with B-Rob and Eckler kind of getting free up the middle and on the right side a little bit, as well as Jaden doing, you know, kind of what Jaden does. That was really a good kind of, you know, final dagger to the heart of the Lions over there.
For sure. And then, of course, the next drive is when Jamison Williams throws the pick. And that's really kind of when it ends. Washington goes down, scores their 45th point of the game. And at that point, it's out of reach. Mitch Tischler is with us here on the Hoffman Show, of course, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast with JP Finley. And Mitchell, I referenced our chat last week a million times leading up to this game because you told this great story about how there was a sign in the Commanders locker room that said something to the effect of they have to go through us. And knowing that was their mindset going in, I was like, oh, this team's going to be ready. How do you think they approach this week? And obviously, it's going to be some level more of the same, but given that it's Philly, third time playing them this year, what was kind of the initial message from Dan Quinn as he talked to the media yesterday, and how do you think they go about this week?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dan Quinn's favorite saying all year has been anytime, anywhere, anytime, any place, anyone, and that, you know, that goes – triple for this week. I don't think that folks are looking at the Commanders kind of in a national span as such an underdog this week because of what they were able to do last week in Detroit. So I don't think he's going to be able to kind of hammer home after the go through us thing. I think that it's a familiar opponent, an NFC East opponent, you know, a team that dominates the trenches the way that the Eagles do. I think you're going to hear, you know, DQ, Joe Witt, Cliff Kingsbury, these guys talk about, you know, manhood and, you know, playing for each other and kind of that kind of different style of coaching point to them, because there's going to be a lot this week that is going to come down to not a scheme, you know, not being in the right place at the right time, but going out and making a play. And, you know, I've been super critical of the defensive line and John Allen specifically this season and last season as well. He came out and showed why he got the big payday in that game against Detroit. And he's a guy who didn't play in either of the first two games against the Eagles this season. And so he's somebody who can be a big-time difference maker when you talk about stopping, you know, the Saquon-Jalen Hurts run duo. And if he's able to dominate and be as disruptive as he was on Sunday against the Lions this week, or so I guess Saturday against the Lions as he could be this week against the Eagles, I think that can be a big, big difference maker for this team. And I'm not saying it comes down to one guy. I'm just using JA as an example of a guy who can go out and win a one-on-one battle and make a big-time play to turn the tides of the game.
Mitch Tischler, Beltway Football Podcast, with us here on the Hoffman Show. What have you made of Witt's ability to consistently turn the faucet off on teams running the football in the second half? Whether it's Saquon after that initial, you know, seven carry burst in the second Philly game, whether it's Detroit, whether it's Tampa, like they've consistently been better in the second half than the first. And sometimes it's game script, but you know, just the per carry stuff is better as well. How do you think they've been able to do it?
I'll tell you what, I think that second game against Philly at Northwest Stadium showed Joe something, because obviously Jalen Hurts went out and you were able to get a little more aggressive at the run stop because Kenny Pickett was in at quarterback. But you saw them start deploying a lot of these cluster blitzes and a lot of these, overloads on one side or another. And you saw them kind of overloading one side and slanting the other direction, which in a run game concept can create some issues for them. I think he kind of figured out a couple things about stopping some of those, some of those basic runs that were getting them beat to the edges. And I think he's kind of tinkered with it as the season has gone on from that point. And I think we're seeing that, those sorts of things, take hold here in the playoffs. I think it also helps, obviously, again, getting John Allen back, having another big-time athletic body that you can line up in a defensive end type position. And, as much as I love Dante Fowler, having a big body on the edge, you can set an edge that way, is super important. And I think I've liked that they are deploying a little more of the J.A., Daron Payne, Johnny Newton, those three guys being, on your D-line in more opportune run situations. But ultimately, I think you just have to look big picture. Joe Witt has just done an unbelievable job with his defense. Early in the season, we saw guys being in the right position and not necessarily, making plays every time. I think now you're starting to see these guys are going out and making those plays. And I point directly to, the defensive coaching staff having these guys, being in the right place and evolving as the season goes. And so it's been great to watch. And I expect that as we get into this game on Sunday, you're going to see, I don't think you're going to see that Eagles run offense be quite as successful as it was the first two outings.
Yeah, something to watch too is how they deploy their linebackers, because that's where the Rams got in a lot of trouble. Is like they try to get a bunch of people at the line of scrimmage, and then if Saquon can get to the second level and there's suddenly no one at the second level, good luck to your third level guys. And so that kind of creating levels of the defense is going to be huge, and getting push up front is a good way to do that as well. On the offensive side of the ball, Mitch, the running game, they found it. They did it. How'd they do it?
Listen, I was very pleased with the run game. I loved watching it. I think that was a much bigger tip of the cap to the Lions' defense, particularly defensive line, being particularly bad against the run, especially in that game. But I think getting Austin Ekeler back involved in the run game was a big part of that. And I think he's a big piece to this offense that I don't know that I necessarily appreciated until he was out for the last, four games with that concussion. I think both being a threat in the pass game, being a very good pass blocker and reader of where he needs to step up and pick up blitzes is important. But I think because teams have to account for him in the passing game, I think that helps him out in the run game as well, because the teams aren't able to be quite as aggressive going after Jaden and going after some of those RPO-type looks. And so I think you had a situation where Brian Robinson hit holes like we haven't seen him hit lately. I give a big tip of the cap, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, to Dan Quinn, who said that he had a one-on-one film session with Brian Robinson to, discuss what they were seeing so they could get him back on the right page. I think that, certainly helps when your head coach sits down with your starting running back. But ultimately, I think getting Ekeler going as well, both, more involved in this offense was a big part of it. All that being said, losing Sam Cosmi, going against Jalen Carter and this Eagles D-line is going to be a different story than what they saw last week against the Lions.
Yeah, there was a moment that, I don't know if you noticed it from the press box, but they did a good job of showing it on Fox on TV, that after, I think it was the second touchdown, there was a long embrace and discussion between Dan Quinn and Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
And having that added context of those two met and they had a film session, and if it was on a Monday, it can be a Tell the Truth Monday, or it was a Tell the Truth whatever day the film session was. I think that's great. And it's the kind of thing that I bet you Dan does more often. And I think, to kind of round this thought out, Mitch, and I love your response to it as someone who's out there every day, like DQ doesn't say basically anything negative about his players publicly. He just refuses. He will not criticize his players in the press. He will collectively say, we need to do better. It's not like he lives in fantasy land and thinks everything is great, but he does not like to single out players specifically for criticism in the public eye. And I think for some coaches, they don't do that ever because they're afraid to, or they're afraid they're going to hurt the relationship or whatever. I have no doubt that Dan Quinn behind the scenes has no problem being like, hey, that's not good enough. This isn't what we want. And calling guys out in a way that probably is still professional and kind. He's not like making sport of it. But the way he handles these guys, I think, is part of the reason why so many of them respect him so much. And I think that's a great illumination of that, that I don't know we've gotten a story like that in that much detail specifically this year until that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we see it play out. We've seen it play out on Sundays throughout the season. You know, whether it was kickers missing kicks, whether it was DBs, you know, missing plays, he wants to throw those guys back out there and show them, hey, you're our guy. We trust you. You know, you're the person that we elected to have you play and be on this team. You know, we back you. And I think you see that play out quite often, but particularly with B-Rob. You know, those goal line, you know, inside the five runs, particularly in the playoffs, but even before that, have been pretty, been pretty unsuccessful. And in that moment, you know, a divisional round game, overwhelming number one seed, 15-2, all the, you know, different things, for him to trust them, you know, continually handing them that ball again and again and again, is he doesn't have to tap Brian Robinson on top of the head and tell him publicly, I support you, this, that, and the other thing. His actions show you that he supports them and that he wants them to be successful and that he believes that he's the right guy. And I think that goes so far in terms of, you know, building confidence with players that one bad play isn't going to be held against them. They're not, and it helps them play free and, you know, not be tentative and in their own heads, which is certainly something we've seen from Burgundy and Gold teams of the past. So, he just has a really great demeanor with these guys, clearly has an awesome rapport with them. And quite frankly, you know, as important as it is that Jaden Daniels is maybe the best player in football right now, you have a group that believes in each other. They believe in the coaching staff above and below them. And, you know, all that year of good feelings helps the team be successful, particularly in what Dan loves to call those winning time moments.
For sure, and the attention to detail they have in the winning time moments as well. Last thing for Mitch Tischler on the way out here, of course, you can listen to him and JP Finley on the Beltway Football Podcast, available wherever you get your pods. Mitchell, the Eagles this weekend, round three, early thoughts, feelings, vibes, strategy points going into this game as you and JP are planning for your preview stuff. Like, what's top of mind for you?
I mean, I'm going to give you the basic surface level, which is where I've been for a little bit with Jaden and this team, is that the Eagles are going to have to score to keep up with Jaden. The Eagles' defense is certainly better than both the Bucks and Lions. I think that the injuries on the Eagles' defense that they're dealing with right now are going to be tough for them to handle, particularly at linebacker and at DB with Quinyon Mitchell, even though they're saying that he's fine. I don't know that I believe it, but that's a different story. If the Commanders are able to put pressure on the Eagles the way that they have, both the Bucks and Lions, I have no doubt that Jalen Hurts is going to fold. I want him throwing the ball as often and as much as possible. And you can tell me about Marshawn Lattimore and A.J. Brown last time out, but I haven't heard anyone mention Marshawn Lattimore against the Lions. He had a pretty good day there. I think they only targeted him once or twice.
It was on the first series of the game. He forced an incompletion. They never went back at him again.
Right? Have your callers been calling in? Oh, my gosh, A.J. Brown, you know, this, that, and the other thing is going to happen. I'm not saying he's going to go out and shut down the Eagles' DBs, but Marshawn Lattimore is a big, 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 big reason why Mikey Sainer still was able to get two picks. You know, he's a big reason why Kwon was able to go get that interception. I mean, it was a bad throw, but Jared Goff and, you know, boy genius Ben Johnson decided they didn't want to challenge Marshawn Lattimore. And that makes the rest of the defense better. And we've talked the first 2 weeks about them playing good quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts is not a good quarterback. He certainly can run the ball, you know, like a son of a gun, and the tush push and all that stuff is incredible. But he has been very, very, very prone to being inaccurate, make bad decisions. And in the playoff game, all you need is a couple of those to happen to get out on top. And so to me, it's going to be about the offense continuing to be efficient, continuing to put pressure on the opposing team, and ultimately putting so much pressure on them that they end up breaking. And quite frankly, that's how I see this Sunday playing out. And it's unbelievable to be thinking about it and to say it out loud. I think this Commanders team is headed to the Super Bowl in New Orleans in 2 weeks.
From your mouth to the football god's ears, Mitchell, let's have that discussion next Tuesday, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right, Mitch Tischler, everybody, joins us every Tuesday during the season, which hopefully is continuing to go for many more weeks here. You can catch him on the Beltway Football Podcast. Talk to you next Tuesday, sir. All right, it's Mitch Tischler. He's gone. See ya. Holy potatoes. Mitchell disappeared. Mitch, of course, with JP on the Beltway Football Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Speaking of podcasts, if you miss any part of this show, you can check it out by searching The Hoffman Show. That is anywhere you get your podcasts. And speaking of podcasts, one more time, well, how about a podcast trifecta? I do a podcast. It's called Take Command. Logan Paulson's the co-host. He's very smart. He played 10 years in the NFL, one of the smartest analysts out there, certainly, I think, NFL-wide, if not just in the Washington sphere. And I'm lucky enough to share a microphone or share, a podcast with him. We don't share a microphone. We do it from our individual homes. You get the point. We do a show. The tape review shows every Tuesday. The full episode's available now. But next, we're going to do what we do every Tuesday here on the radio, which is share the Jaden Daniels performance part of it. It's a Take Command Tape Tuesday next on the Team 980.